that they had gone in and moved everybody out over to an adjacent lot?
Right. What needs to be brought up first was the city to decide what they're going to do is make it for Ontario home only, as far as the people that have some ties to Ontario. Now, homeless are always from an area. They may be from a specific town, but they always travel at least to one town in a circle around. So that's real important. What the city was trying to do, because it had gotten up to 350, maybe 400 people, you know, and we all understood this, and we all understood that there was a lot of people that may not be from this area, but not that many. 85% have always been from Ontario area. And so what they had to do is they had to somehow, for the future, in the political plan or whatever it is, say, look, Ontario will take care of their own. In the fine line was how they did it. And what they did is they came really tight on trying to prove that either you went to a school in Ontario, okay, as far as K through 12 in Ontario, you had proof of you resided somewhere in Ontario at some time, but either you owned something, you leased something, or you had utility bills. Also, whether you were known by the police department there, or if they knew you from being on the street. I don't know. I would hate to see that every city that gets a place says, no, you have to be from here. Because right now we have over 150 people that were at the encampment that are out on the streets in Ontario right now, and they're all hiding.
And they were forcibly removed or just asked to leave?
Well, I don't know. I would say that they were intimidated to move because of the process. And the thing is now, with that process they used, and it was very intimidating, they had six lines. We didn't have any time to prepare anybody or know what the process was going to be prior so that we could take the anxieties out of the homeless and talk to them. So if this was ever to happen again, you'd need somebody to be able to talk and walk every individual through, because the homeless are afraid of police. And they're afraid of code enforcement because of the tickets, because of the harassment and all the years that they've been on the street of the different dealings to move them from area to area or take their stuff, their IDs and things like that. So they had six lines, and they came up, said, form these six lines. At the front of the line, there was three officers per line plus a code enforcement. So there was like 24 or so plus code enforcement that were up at the front. So first you were intimidated by having to go up to them. Now, a lot of homeless have sort of tickets or different things they've never been able to take care of. So first off, the rumor that they had said that if you come through here, you're going to be, you know, we're going to run you and you're going to be arrested. So there are little things prior to this to scare them from coming up. And you know what? Right away, there were 50 people that were intimidated. As they saw this, just said, well, I guess I got to go. Then there was a banning. You put a ban on your hand whether they determined you qualify. Well, we were told it was just to get your name and information. You would then be able to sit down and go through that process to prove, but that wasn't it. What happened is in the process they had different bans, but the police officers basically were saying, no, you didn't prove to me that you were in Ontario. You might as well leave now. We're going to give you a white man. And the sad thing on that was we couldn't prepare them, and they're going off of their head. Well, they're scared to death, and when I'm scared to death, I have a hard time thinking. And they were alone, every individual, and so the police officers or code enforcement were basically answering it for them. And they were giving most of the people white bands, which was dispersing the crowd, and basically the word was if you had a white band, you're not going to make it through, that they do not think that you qualify. They would give out an orange band on the first day, and the orange band was, okay, we'll sort of see if you're from here, and then they gave a blue band away, and blue band meant is basically that if you're lucky enough to have a driver's license that had an address, and they would give you a blue band saying, well, that's good enough. But there's a lot of people that live maybe in Ontario for 3 years, but had a California ID, but got it confiscated from another town, but they've been living in Ontario. The majority of people, I want to stress this, 85 plus, maybe 90% were always from Ontario area. and yet they would not take. I had a notary public, because I was out there since July 5th, of everybody that I verbally knew that I dealt with out there. And some of them had ID, some of them didn't. And I was trying to give them a verification that they would use, because they said that the police officers are allowed to go ahead and say, yeah, I've dealt with you in the past, I know you're from here, just on a verbal. Well, I felt that I had the right too, because I'd been working with the homeless for 3 years, 4 years in this area. I knew everybody that was out there, and I had worked on especially at the Tent City, because I was out there almost on a daily basis, and my word's just as good. But we were never allowed to put that in as far as witnessing. Also, the local areas here that we had, Mariposa Community Services out of Ontario, they get the mail for the homeless, but they weren't allowed to use their address. If their address was on anybody's reason, well, I collect my mail there, they didn't honor that. They didn't honor it that it was at Mercy House that they collected mail there. Because there's, you know, if you have no money, you don't have a P.O. box, usually whoever is going to assist you and help you allows you to send your mail there or important documents. And so they weren't allowed to use those addresses. So a lot of different reasons why it was more like, you know what, they had 400 people and they had to cut it down. And you know what, we got to make it so tight to get in there. And from what I experienced and heard is it was so... The way they did it got it actually down to under 100 people, and then towards the end they were finally listening to us and saying, look, this isn't fair, and they were starting to let people in.
So what's the current population of the camp?
Current population, I'm guessing right now, is probably anywhere from 120 to 140 as of yesterday.
Okay.
We were told that it was going to be allowed to be 170, but as I asked yesterday, is there an appeals, is there... You know, is there any way to bring these people in that were unfairly, you know, treated, reviewed, anything, and they would not allow even have any open communication with us.
So what was the day that the police came in and sort of sorted people out with these wristbands?
The first day was going to be Monday, March 24th, but you also have to remember a week before they had... The process sort of started, and what they do is by going through and citing all the motorhomes and trailers and everything, as lack of registration, anything they could get, in my opinion, it was the harassment to let them know that there's changes coming. And again, if they would have told us what was going on, if we would have been able to be there, if we would have had an office there or anything, that they could come, give us the information, we could have smoothly gotten all the money to fix all the registrations, do anything we needed, same as if a month ago they would have said, everybody's here is going to need a driver's license. We could have gotten the funding that would have been all donations to handle any problem they had, but there was no open communication. So when it came to the day that you got to go, nobody's got proof.
Right.
You know, and especially there was nobody to help and assist. I was the only one out there that was there the day this all happened, and I'm running from line to line trying to communicate with them for the homeless, and they wouldn't listen to me as well.
I see.
So it was just the process wasn't fair. But that was on Monday the 24th, and then we thought it was going to be approximately about a week of investigation, trying to prove, get you time to get a letter from your old landlord and stuff like that. But what it really came down to is 2 days.
Do you think there's something sort of dehumanizing about tagging people in this manner and sorting them out?
Well, you know what? To stay in a place, the process has to be fair first. And you know what, if you're dealing with mental illness and people that have a hard time communicating, a fair process really has to be helped and assisted on a one-to-one, you know, somebody to walking through that process to be fair. Other than that, we could have had an ID that was a lanyard that goes over your head that you can take off whenever you want that has your picture, which would have been very fair. Tagging of people isn't fair. There's a lot of things that definitely need to be reviewed on being able to do it a different way. I was also trying to get in contact with the California Department of Fair Employment and Housing, because I think what they did, since they call it a temporary homeless service area, I think what they did is they tried to go around the law as far as saying, you know, not having to do certain things. And the biggest problem I had is ever getting any counsel out there or somebody I could just talk to and say, hey, what do you think? Here's what they're going to do. Is this fair? What can we do to sort of slow this down? And like I said, we asked the day that it all happened, can we slow it down, back up? Can we have an appeals? And you know what? We had no voice. And, I feel bad that really I let them down. But like I said, I'd never gone personally through something like this. I've learned an awful lot, and I would not ever allow this to happen again if I've ever heard of it. But I still need to be educated in the legal end and have some type of a representation from somebody who's able to step forward and work with us on a no-cost basis, just somebody where their heart's with the homeless.